Hello. Hey, Ragnar.
Hey, that's our premiere, our very first show. I'm very excited to be one of the guardians of the MS65 governance, to be with you, Christian.
We need to have some kind of superhero outfits, though, Ragnar. I mean, you got to make it all official, or matching bracelets or something, you know, something. But welcome to the first official episode of Guardians of Microsoft 365 Governance. We have the convenient hashtag of GoM365Gov. You have to have the hashtag or you're not legit.
Oh, yes. That's something what we have to share immediately. Yeah.
Yep. Our goal in this monthly live stream show is to bring to the Techie Gurus audience and, of course, the broader community, everything and anything important about governance within the Microsoft 365 ecosystem. And each month, as we have today, we'll have guests, some pre-recorded interviews from various events around the world. So Ragnar and I both travel a lot and attend at events and speak events.
Oh, yes.
And a lot on the governance topic. And we'll also share relevant updates and product news, industry news about all things governance. So maybe we start with some introductions very quickly. Mm-hmm. For folks that don't know me, my name is Christian Buckley. I'm a Microsoft Regional Director, as well as a Microsoft 365 Apps and Services MVP with a concentration on SharePoint and Teams. And Ragnar.
Yes. So pretty much the same M65 Apps and Services, no regional director, but also working for Rancor, leading the global partner sales team.
Yeah. And we've been doing this for a long time. We're both at Rancor now. We are both former Microsoft people. Do you have it on your profile, the ex-Microsoft? Still, you know, proud of the fact that I was at the beginning of what is now Office 365.
So a lot of things in common. But by the way, we have other wonderful colleagues here from Rancor, like Pia. Hey, waving Pia. To Pia. Wonderful. Thanks for being here. And please, the other audience and visitors, please tell us where you're from which country, and if you're also here snowed, because looking outside it's freezing cold, like minus 10 and snowy.
We got snow last night again. So I'm here in Salt Lake City area. And so we've got yet another snow. I don't know how much snow we got up at the ski resorts. There's something like last weekend 4 to 5 feet of snow.
Mm-hmm. But I don't want to spoil too much. But we have a guest here, Joanne, and she is also suffering a lot of coldness. So let's see what she tells about snow. But it's not about a weather forecast show. We are going to go deep today about one of the hottest topics in the industry, going directly into AI, Copilot, governance, and compliance. And we are very excited and very happy that we have one of the leading industry experts.
Two,
Joanne Klein and also David Trever here with us. And I don't want to spend more words. I just put both on stage. Welcome to our show, Joanne, and welcome, David.
Hi, Hello. Everyone.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, both of you could introduce yourselves. Joanne first.
Sure. Hi, I'm Joanne Klein. I hail from Western Canada, so I might win the how cold is it contest today. I think it's warmed up to minus 23 Celsius, minus 33 with the wind chill. Wow. So yeah, not much snow, but very cold. So happy to be here on the first inaugural show. I work in this purview compliance space all of the time with my customers. I am owner operator of my own consulting company, and all of my customers are in this space. So happy to be here and talk about this topic.
Wonderful.
And David.
Hi, everyone. David Drever, Associate Director of Protivity and Microsoft 365 MVP. Like Joanne, I very much focus on the compliance space. Anything purview, that's where I live. Defender, same thing there. And I think, you know, I think it's a toss up between me and Joanne. Like right now, it's not so bad right now, about the same temperature as Joanne. But earlier this week, we're down to minus 40. For those of you on Fahrenheit, that's also minus 40. So so it's been a little chilly. You know, Ragnar, your temperature, a little balmy for us right now.
Minus 10?
That's nothing. That's still short weather. So, you know,
that's for puppies. Yeah.
Well, I'm wearing shorts today because we're only at 29 or 28 degrees Fahrenheit. So It's snowing though.
Yeah.
Well, thank you both for joining. And I know that, so we'll jump right into it. So I know that you just went live with your new podcast, Compliance Unplugged. In that first episode, I think you've just done the one. Have you done a second episode yet? Monthly?
Yeah, that's our intent. Yeah, we're still working out all the squeaky wheels and the bugs and stuff like that. But yeah, we're hoping to have a monthly, I think, at the least.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully you provide some links as we're talking, like out, so people can find your show. And I know each of you are also your blogs that you're writing about it. So let's share all that information. So in that first episode, you discussed the challenges of case management and records management, particularly with Microsoft Purview, as you've mentioned. Could you elaborate on some of the key strategies businesses should adopt to effectively integrate case management within their records management systems?
Yeah, sure. I'll maybe tackle that first. And so there's a couple of things. As we kind of mentioned in our podcast there, that Microsoft Purview handles case management through event-based retention. And so being able to automate some of the process. So if you have, I've worked with other organizations where we implemented Power Automate integrations and that sort of thing around there. So if you're able to have that integration, unfortunately, that's one of the gaps of Purview, is that automation within Purview itself for case management. You kind of need to help it along today. We're hoping to have some updates into that, but there's definitely some gaps there that we want to, we highlighted in our podcast there around that integration. But it's, being able to, integrate with Power Automate or even some scripting and things like that is a necessity at this point. I don't know, Joanne, any thoughts?
Yeah, and I think maybe case management is one of those areas that it exposes. You can certainly implement it using technology within Microsoft Purview and M365, but it does expose maybe some weaknesses, I will say, or lack of maturity on some of the other pieces that I see organizations having. So, properly tagging their content. That's a big one, is, lots of companies don't want to do that, but unfortunately it is a requirement for being able to manage cases at scale across your environment. It just simply has to be done. So that's kind of where some of the AI capabilities can also help, certainly, but it still is a dependency that I see customers struggling with. And I think David is the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't it interesting how, over the years that I've been in this ecosystem, kind of getting involved with SharePoint back in 2005, officially joining Microsoft a year later, that information architecture, and how you build out, how you classify, and how the strength of your management of your data is so critical to search. Okay. It's so critical to security. It's so critical to AI advances and Copilot and leveraging all of that. Yeah. All this content, suddenly this flurries of articles out there about what to do to prepare for Copilot. It's kind of the old, it's the same stuff we've been saying for the last 20 years.
Yeah, I 100% agree. Yeah. And, maybe it will be easier to convince customers that, yes, this is a good thing. We need to properly tag our content. It's not just so you can apply a retention label. It's also so people can find it easier. It's so maybe Copilot is going to give you a better, well-informed response to your question. I mean, there's so many follow-on positive effects of properly tagging your content. I think it's going to be an easier sell now than maybe it was in the last couple of decades, I hope.
Well, my thoughts on that is that we've always had metadata in SharePoint. It's always been there, but you could still do things in folders. And there's really, what people knew. And there's, we now have this carrot, or even an apple, if you want to call it that, you can really enhance things like Copilot, and you can really enhance things like records management and even information protection in general using that metadata that you've always had. So I think that we're seeing a lot more flurry around that. And a lot of my customers are talking about this today, is how do I enhance these features for us? And so, like I said, you know, metadata has always been there, but there hasn't really been the, you know, the carrot to get people to really adopt it, to really see the benefit to it.
I just going through some of my notes here too. I know from your show, it was great to have that live. I love this kind of content. You talked a lot on Purview, which, you know, it's one of those things where I'm not out there operating this, you know, working with clients directly on Purview. You talk about that there are some gaps. I'd love to know, like, what have you identified? What are the kind of the significant gaps? What do organizations need to prepare for? What are your recommendations that they need to be aware of and steps they should take?
I'll maybe start and then I'll toss it over to you, David. I would say, I'm going to say there's two kinds of gaps. One is the gap where it's maybe not built into the Microsoft Purview service per se, but Microsoft has provided you tooling to kind of customize and build your own process around it, which is good because Microsoft can't accommodate every single scenario and requirement that, you know, millions of customers would have. So I understand that model. And a good example of that would be running a Power Automate flow at the end of a retention period. Okay. That may mean different things to different customers. Well, build your own flow and go to town and make it right for you. The other kind of, so, you know, I really wouldn't call that a gap, but some customers look at it that way. They want it built into the service. So we'll call it that for sake of discussion. The other one is it's just not there. One example I can think of that is the file plan. And even though Purview has a file plan, it's for records that are stored in M365. And if you talk to a records manager, a retention schedule and their file plan is media agnostic. It's not just for records that are in M365. It covers everything. Yeah. So some customers buy a third-party file plan management tool to be able to manage their records holistically with integrations into the Purview file plan. What do you think, David?
Yeah, no. And actually, even to build on that last point you made, Joanne, like a huge, what I consider a huge gap, and I kind of see where Microsoft has gone with this, and I'll talk about that in a second, but a huge gap since day one, since, you know, even before it was called Purview, we had the compliance compliance admin console, you know, was that Microsoft, we're not going to do physical records, you know, that, and physical records is such a key component to every organization. Like I'm working with an organization now that still has thousands upon thousands of boxes of physical records they have to track. And
that was a huge part of like the early era of SharePoint too. All these vendors that had scanning technologies that to automate that, and OCR solutions. So it was all about like my first digitization project was when I was working for a company called EDS. If anybody remembers the old consulting company in the early 90s, doing state of California medical records and digitizing all of our documentation. And that was in 93, 94. So, I mean, it's been around a long time. Obviously, the technology that we're using, but it was the idea of creating, you know, we didn't have PDF, but creating images of the documents and then ingesting that into our systems.
That's where we have now the syntax service. Formerly, you know, SharePoint syntax. Now it's all about the Microsoft syntax. And there are new services coming here from the syntax family. And this is currently a very interesting field, how the syntax family is currently evolving and also going together with the Copilot services. So this morning I was playing around with the Copilot for services. I know this Copilot since only like 1 week that there is a Copilot for services. And then I was creating my Dataverse and my new environment. And then I saw, there are more signals to integrate. I can integrate with the Salesforce, Zendesk, ServiceNow. So what do you think, how is the importance of backend automation going to increase when talking about this kind of event triggers? Because we want to automate things, they need event triggers. Do you work with the customers around automation like HR systems or service systems, ERP systems? What are your experiences here? How can AI help and how can compliance help?
Well, and to kind of build on that a little bit there, Ragnar, is that, you know, that's, I think, one of the key things, or one of the key attempts to bridge some of those gaps that Microsoft is doing, is in the SharePoint Premium / Syntex space, is that ability to bring content in and scan the content and build governance components out of that data that it scans, because it does content scanning. So being able to set your retention labels and that sort of thing because of the content it's scanned within, and setting up those rules and those models. So that's huge. But, you know, that gap you mentioned there too about integration with HR systems and stuff like that. I mentioned it earlier, but, you know, there's I've done demos and implementations for organizations. I'm sure you have as well, Joanne, in the sense that, you know, you can integrate with these HR systems like Workday, and you can integrate with PeopleSoft and things like that. So a key example around that is a lot of organizations have content that is tagged specifically to a particular employee. And when that employee is no longer with the organization is when the retention schedule starts for them. So that integration using Power Automate Connector or something along that line is the ability to then use that, you know, that notification that the employee has been, you know, they're resigned in 2 weeks, or they have already been removed from the system. You can now kick off an event automatically. So you have that integration into into Purview to kick off an event. And an event is any, you know, any occurrence in the lifetime of a document that could happen. So in this case, the offboarding of an employee.
I think this also demonstrates how I'm going to focus in on records management projects, but because I really see it there, is this is why you need to have IT sitting at the table from the very beginning.
Thanks, Peter.
In addition to records managers, because there's so many integration points and automation steps you can take. Yes, you can do some of this manually, but it's better if it's automated, and it kind of leaves the end user to, you know, do their other work that they have to do. So there's lots of opportunity, and I see even more so coming with Copilot and some of these AI tools. But, you know, IT needs to understand how to leverage these tools to to integrate them. Yeah.
Let me ask a question here coming just from Philip. From my perspective, retention labels and record management entries in 65 are relatively complex and difficult to understand and convey. Is Copilot now the ultimate help to increase adoption and to understand it for the end user? Or is there still a lot of things which cannot be automated where you can offer a lot of value with your services and training and coaching and consulting?
I don't know how Copilot is going to help on the retention front. I'm not saying it won't, but I'm waiting for that story to play out. Could it suggest, it looks like you're working with a contract, we're going to apply, or maybe suggest you apply a contract label to this. I don't know. That's one exactly. option. You know, I think about this a lot in ways that Copilot can help this. What is kind of a heavy lift for most organizations is if you're not going to automate it, you're relying on an end user probably more than you are comfortable with doing. So Copilot hopefully will help out on that end, but time will tell.
Yeah. And that is the legendary bridge, because in the past I was always telling, listen, for PureView there is the manual work where people are applying labels manually, and then there is the back end where everything is done with millions and millions of documents where machine learning kicks in and does the work. Mm-hmm. But now it's Copilot is bridging the man and machine work.
Yeah. For sure.
And that's exactly it. Like there's what I would almost call, you know, AI light, because it's not really AI. It's just machine learning we talked about. And so some of those gaps can be bridged using trainable classifiers. So being able to recognize the content, you know, for those who may not be aware, trainable classifier is a forms recognition system within Purview. So it's very similar to the model driven capabilities of Syntex or SharePoint Premium. However, the capability is very much not at that level. So, you know, it can recognize what this is, maybe an invoice, or it can recognize that this is a contract, but it can't tell you what the content within it is. So there is that capability. Are they going to bridge that? I'd love to see. If they're going to build on that, I'd love to see something like that. But today there's no real ability to do. A lot of it's going to be you know, manual, being as a record manager, working with the team to understand, okay, so you guys are working with this content and this particular type of content actually maps to this record label or something along that line. And you can help them along, you know, how to do that. But it's not in the AI space today.
Yeah, I'd say that's one area where probably the third party providers are leading that in that space. I mean, I've seen from just from a conference, you know, a month ago, two or three of the vendors that were looking at, you know, adding in Copilot, you know, AI capabilities into the guidance already, like identifying, you know, as you're building out your infrastructure, identifying where content is not properly classified,
yeah,
highlighting that so that you go in, you have to take those steps still. Mm-hmm. And so I see where that gets more and more intelligent,
yeah,
and provides even more comprehensive, like a walkthrough of what you need to go and do, like whether they'll actually be able to do it, you know, in those third party tools, or they then have to go into Purview or elsewhere and take the steps. But the fact is, I mean, that's really where like bringing in consultants, experts helps today. Maybe AI will displace the need for some of that consulting to go in and review that, and then make those recommendations. And then you go and take those actions.
No, that's a really good one. And also here, thanks here for to Philip, who brings up this point, because in the last minutes we talked about that Copilot can help to suggest the right labels which can be applied and assigned. But also Copilot can help to fix a kind of broken life cycle for compliance, because sometimes people are just forget to fulfill GDPR, they forget to archive, they forget to edit, and here Copilot can they listen. This document was a job application, you didn't get the job, and then after half a year it needs to be deleted. Yeah. But you didn't do it. So the HR a department or manager just forgot it. So it helps us to fix a broken life cycle, which is super relevant for compliance.
100% it is.
That last question there, that last comment there was huge. I hear with so many organizations, because when you were dealing back in the day with physical records, you had, you know, you need to store, you had it in a back room somewhere, or you had to move it off site, and you only had so much space because it took up a lot of space. But these days, electronic records management or electronic content, you know, it's not perceived as using up that much space. Yes, it's using up hard drive space, or the case may be. But a user doesn't see that. They don't deal with that. Mm-hmm. So the concept is, let's keep everything, and because there's no reason not to. But there's so many reasons not to. You know, you're running risks of having content that's too old being referenced and things like that. There's a reason for this and yeah, I could see that. You know, that comment from Philip is a good one. That, you know, maybe Purview or sorry, maybe Copilot could help with determining what data do you want to keep.
It's so funny, like our backgrounds, you know, how it influences the way that we look, we think about these things. My first corporate job, I was a runner for a law firm. So I would, you know, file documentation down at courthouses all over Northern California. But I was also responsible for the long-term storage over at a facility in a storage unit right near the law firm's office. And it was very strongly impressed upon me that when the date arrived for documentation to be destroyed, how critical it was, the risk that was involved in having content that's supposed to be purged from our records, like was not handled properly. And so that's something I've like always been. So that like the push now, it just seems so easy. Like when you're going and establishing your templates for your sites, when you're setting up the basic functions of your SharePoint and Teams collaboration environments, that you ask those questions around data retention. What are the life cycles, the data life cycle of the content? And then as that gets more complex, have those rules. But that it's fundamental to that. Yep.
But on the other side, this kind of complexity, Christian, what you're currently showing can also overwhelm, especially small customers. So Joanne and David, what are your recommendations? You know, how can you also, or how can AI, so both maybe you and AI can help smaller companies who are overwhelmed, who have maybe only one guy or one lady in IT?
I think it's more the how regulated you are that's going to dictate the difficulty you're going to have managing this with limited IT resources. So I think licensing, Copilot licensing, Purview advanced compliance licensing are your friend in that space. You simply can't manage this if you're regulated without some of those extra tools available to you. That would be my recommendation. I mean, 100% of my customers are enterprise. So I'm speaking not from my own experience, but that's just what I think. It's more a factor of how regulated you are, unfortunately.
And I don't want to miss to mention that you are currently have launched a few, 3 weeks ago, a new video series.
Yeah.
How would you call it? Is it a video series? Is it a podcast? What's your official naming? But it's called Compliance Unplugged. And
yes. We used AI to create our logo. That was a lot
there
of
you
fun.
Go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe what is it? Share some insights. What do you have planned? Like what's coming up next? I don't know how much you're talking about in your show, like it you know, naming future guests or topics, but what are your plans?
So when Joanne and I first started talking about doing this, and this has been a long time coming, to be terribly honest, we want to be a little bit different because we've been doing this for a long time and we've all heard these stories from our clients, and her and I often would get together and chat about common things that we've seen. So we decided, well, we want to turn that into a conversation that others can join in on. So the idea behind this is we want to bring, instead of, you know, being talking about particular, you know, features or components of Purview or Microsoft 365, we want to talk about, you know, problems we've helped clients with or common things that we hear, like that case management is something we've heard so many times that we decide, well, let's start with that one. And, you know, talk about, you know, because I've heard, both of us have heard so many times that that Purview couldn't do case management. Well, in fact, it can can do it fairly well with some help. So, things like that. I don't know. That's kind of where we're our vision. Joanne, anything to add to that?
Yeah. You know, talk about enablement strategies, try not to be too happy path on this. We're boots on the ground, right? We both work with customers day in, day out. So I think our lessons learned are valuable and approaches, you know, we're not a support. It's not tier three support. We're not doing that, but we're talking more about just practical things, I think, that would help customers.
That's why I love you know, having these questions, and thank you everybody that is asked questions, made some comments on there. But yeah, that's sometimes digging into those real world scenarios. You're right. It's one thing to gloss over, like but that's why we have documentation around the products. Like here's how you go use it.
Right.
But getting those real world out in the trenches.
Yeah.
You know, questions. You know.
Yeah.
That's the best stuff.
Agreed.
Well, I guess the last official question here, and then we've got one other topic before we wrap up here. But as our first in-studio guest here on Guardians of M365 Governance, maybe if you could share your vision for the future of compliance and governance in this rapidly expanding, evolving landscape.
I'll start. I would like to think that a company has kind of a persona. So you're in a particular industry, you're of a particular size, you're in a particular geo region. All of those factors kind of come into, and compliance manager does this to a degree. This is what we need to be compliant with. But take it a little bit further, right down to what are the controls that we're going to implement. Let's, you know, maybe suggest something down to the end user so content is properly tagged. I love where Microsoft is going with lots of this automation capability, taxonomy tagging. The tenant level term store is your friend. And I see it surfacing over and over and over again in all of these new tooling. So just more space around that. And it's really end user facing controls, but in the back end, I can see how it's certainly going to be used to improve any company's compliance posture.
Well, and it's breathing new life into these technologies too. Like, you know, the term store was just always kind of there, but now with records management, it's such a key component that, you know, mm-hmm. that ability to map what I know as a document, you know, SME, to what the records management team knows as the record plan, and then, you know, having auto apply labels and things like that is so key, that the term store is such a key component of that, that, you know, it's really breathing new life into these technologies. Have been there for a long time, kind of going back that conversation yeah. earlier about metadata in general, right? So it's there. So it's a journey that I think that Microsoft is really taking to heart. And for the longest time there too, until Copilot became a thing in the space, a lot of the growth that I saw in M365 was actually in Purview and those areas. So yes. I see a lot. There's again, we've talked about it already, and we've talked about it on our own podcast there, Joanne. But there's still growth to happen. But I think it's a good path they're going down.
Yeah, automatically classifying a document, automatically tagging the metadata, so end users yeah. don't even have to do that. The more that happens, the better
sounds
off
like a dream.
It's gonna be. Yeah.
Sounds like a dream.
Well, it's all about, we say all the time that, you know, all of the components of Purview will get you 80% of your records management, but you still need that end user buy-in. And making it as easy for the end users as possible is really that last step, and mm-hmm. being able to get that full records management story.
I was just going to make the comment. I said, I know, like, where we are, again, going back with the, you know, the history of SharePoint and knowledge management in the Microsoft ecosystem, that here we're talking about a lot of the, you know, newer technology, older topics, you know, things that we've been talking about for a long time. But if you look at kind of the evolution of it, I mean, it does make sense. I mean, where early on people were more worried about with on-prem solutions, just keeping servers running, mm-hmm. you make sure people could get, you know, logged in, like basics of running, you know, the platforms. Now that that's all moved to the cloud, and we've, you know, handed that over to Microsoft, delivering that as a cloud service, we can go and look at the actual usage of and mm-hmm. think about mm-hmm. governance and compliance.
Yeah.
So, you know, that it's, again, it makes sense. I'm excited to see where things go here with this next mm-hmm. stretch as more mm-hmm. and more gets automated. Even my guesses of where it's going to go and the common and third party solutions, like, it's moving so much faster
yeah.
than we even think it's moving.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I think we're going to be surprised here in the next year
no
or
doubt.
Two.
Oh, I yes. agree. Yeah.
Last but not least, I don't want to miss to share a bit of your resources and where people can find you. Of course, you are available on many social media channels, let's say like LinkedIn, but you also have your own websites. For example,
yes.
Joanne is very active here on joannecline.com. I'm going to share the link here right with you. Yes. And she's published a lot of great articles. So recently I've read the one around where she's comparing retention labels versus yeah. sensitivity labels. So just go to this website. There's a beautiful visualization, which makes it easy to understand about this question, which I heard so many times. What's the difference
yeah.
between these two label kinds? So please go to her website, and David can be found here at prairiedeveloper.com. And I'm also going to share his website directly here.
Go to the links and, there. Yeah. Of course, I'm going to be doing a write-up over on Techie Gurus that will have all of the show notes and links and a few other things that we're
Super.
Looking at.
Yeah.
And a couple of things we weren't able to cover today's show. Yeah. But you always find like the monthly wrap-up. And the answer to that question that Sunny had asked, that it's like, yes, this is a monthly show. So
Wonderful
please,
question. I love it.
Yeah. So please continue to follow Ragnar and I. Yeah. And again, watch for that hashtag, that new hashtag, which is go M365gov.
So that's a great hashtag, by the way.
Guardians of M365 governance. So we had to shorten that.
Yeah.
You can't, you know, acronym wasn't going to work, but the hashtag.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So, well, thank you so much. Well, the one last thing, we'll show this. Ragnar, if you have it, I know we won't go into depth, but I don't know if Joanne or David, if you saw this, Redmond Magazine reported on this IDC report where they named
yes,
Microsoft was named yeah. a leader in AI governance.
Yeah, I didn't see it before you. This morning.
Yeah. Okay. So just like a factoid out there for those that follow this kind of stuff. It's interesting to see. As Ragnar and I were talking about, I mean, what's interesting to see is that, you know, several of these companies out there, like, I have no idea who they are. This is the first time I'm seeing some of these other names. So it's always interesting to go in and look at what's the criteria that they're building this in. Like, you know, look, IBM pretty dominant out there, but Microsoft is, you know, recognized by the industry, by the pundits as the leader in this space. And but interesting article to look through. Again, that'll be in the show notes.
Exactly. I never worked with Data Robert, Dataiku, Fairy, SAS. So I know the names. I heard a few, but I haven't worked with them. But it's definitely a very interesting article. And it's also shared here in our show notes.
Yeah, SAS. Who are they?
Well, I do have to wonder about the name. Like, one of them is what Fairly AI. So what, we're almost there or something? Or
So anyways, just another data point to go and take a look at. There's a lot that's happening in this space. We'll be back in February for our next episode. Mm-hmm. And we did kind of a preview show in December, and we asked people, like, who would you love to see us interview from Microsoft, from the MVP community, other experts that are out there? Please provide us that feedback. What topics would you like us to cover? We're going to poll our audience on a regular basis around this. So we have, there's two names that came up. I won't say who, because we need to confirm them for February, but the two most prominent names from last month, that's our goal, or one or possibly both for February.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for having us on the show. Absolutely. On the show.
A pleasure. Thanks so much.
It was awesome.
Fun. Well, thanks for being here.
Great conversation.
So hope to see you. Are you both joining MVP Summit, March, Redmond?
Absolutely.
Yes.
All right.
We'll be there.
We'll get the band back together.
Okay. Hopefully sounds good.
It'll be warmer.
Yeah. Oh, maybe I hope so.
last question from Molly. Do you count eDiscovery as case management?
You going to take that one?
Yeah. So, not really, because the whole concept behind case management is the ability to control the records management based on a primary artifact. eDiscovery is strictly just the ability to find content in your environment and being able to apply, you know, appropriate litigation holds and controls and things like that. So it's an outlier, I think, in the sense that it's a part of it. It's a key component of your records management story, but I don't think it really falls under that category.
Okay. So last comment, if both want to be reached, there is a common email address, compliance.unblocked@outlook.com. You can reach both. So please contact them. They are one of the leading global experts on these topics, as you've just seen. We are very happy to have them here. Yeah. Thanks for being here. Hope to see you soon.
Thank you.
Warmer Redmond.
Thanks a lot, everybody.
Okay, see you soon.